I wonder how many of you have heard about a message on suicide? Can I ask you to raise your hand in the church? None of you. Okay. Oh my. Okay. This is a very, very challenging subject, but at the same time, we cannot say that it is very irrelevant to us at all, because once in a while, I have come across with families and individuals who have known or who have had a family member or loved ones or friends or relatives who have committed suicide. And I have seen their broken hearts, and it is a very emotional topic. At the same time, in a sense, it has not been studied well, and because it has not been taught and studied well, I think we do have a lot of misconceptions and wrong ideas, a misunderstanding of this particular issue and the topic. So I hope that the Lord will help me to be able to deliver a message with clarity, and we'll be able to understand the matter very clearly. Unfortunately, I wanted to give you those questions from the larger catechism materials with the full questions and full of the answers, but because there was no enough space, so I just took them all out, and so unfortunately you have to just listen to me. It's a very long question and a long answer, so you may miss some of the portions, but you can dig them out when you go home. And I hope that I will be able to bring forth some of the points with clarity. As you have been studying the sixth commandment, it must be appropriate for us to begin with two questions and answers from larger catechism materials to summarize the commandment. Larger catechism question number 135 says this. 135. What are the duties required in the sixth commandment? The answer is, the duties required in the sixth commandment are all careful studies and lawful endeavors to preserve the life of ourselves and others by resisting all thoughts and purposes, subduing all passions and avoiding all occasions, temptations and practices which tend to the unjust taking away the life of any, by just defense thereof against violence, patient bearing of the hand of God, quietness of mind, cheerfulness of spirit, a sober use of meat, drink, physic, sleep, labor, and recreations, by charitable thoughts, love, compassion, meekness, gentleness, kindness, peaceable, mild, and courteous speeches and behavior, forbearance, readiness to be reconciled, patient bearing and forgiving of injuries, and requiting good for evil, comforting and succoring the distressed, and protecting and defending the innocent. Did you get anything? It's a very long answer. The next question is number 136. What are the sins forbidden in the sixth commandment? The answer states, the sins forbidden in the sixth commandment are all taking away the life of ourselves or of others, except in case of public justice, lawful war, or necessary defense, the neglecting or withdrawing the lawful and necessary means of preservation of life, sinful anger, hatred, envy, desire of revenge, or excessive passions, distracting cares, immoderate use of meat, drink, labor, and recreations, provoking words, oppression, quarreling, striking, wounding, and whatsoever else tends to the destruction of the life of any. That's the answer. So we have read two questions and two answers. These two questions and answers have so many things within them. There are so many implications and so many side issues we have to think about. And it will be a very, very difficult task to clarify and summarize the teachings from them within just one message. But honestly speaking, I do not want to make two messages out of it. And I think this topic is very, very difficult, I think, a topic, not only as a topic, but also it becomes very emotional. And I try to put the things that I want to share with you within just one message for tonight. From the question number 106-36 and answer, we will find that the Westminster Divines did not condemn every killing as a sinful and murderous act. Instead, there is a clear distinction between reckless murder and justified killing. It sounds pretty harsh and very unchristian if we read the question and answer without considering the whole aspects of human life and biblical teachings. The sixth commandment in our English Bible seems to be very general, too general in a sense, as if there is no case in the Bible that human life was taken and the very act was justified. In order to understand this complicated issue, we must begin with a word study for killing. Thou shalt not kill in the sixth commandment. And so what is the killing in this commandment we are studying today? Well, first of all, the Hebrew root word for this particular word, kill, occurs 38 times in the Old Testament. Out of 38 times of occurrences, we find 13 occurrences in Numbers chapter 35. It's quite exceptionally high number of occurrences of that particular word in one chapter. In order to understand the scope of killing in general, we often classify the killing or murder into two groups. One is premeditated and the other is unpremeditated or accidental killing. The English common law calls the premeditated act of killing as murder and the other accidental case as manslaughter. So there is a difference. They are differentiated. We must understand that the Hebrew word for killing in Exodus chapter 20 verse 13 refers to both cases. Thus, whether it is premeditated or accidental killing is sinful. However, one distinction needs to be made. The punishment for premeditated killing was a capital punishment in the Old Testament, while the punishment for accidental killing was a lesser punishment. We know that in the Old Testament, there were cities called as the cities of refuge. And if someone by accident killed somebody, he was not supposed to be killed. And he was given an opportunity to run away, and he was supposed to hide himself or live in one of those cities of refuge. And they were supposed to be allowed to live in those cities until the high priest of their days died. So there was a clear distinction between murder and accidental killing or manslaughter. With this background information, let us return to the larger catechism questions again. There are three cases in which lives are lost, but the killers are not charged against their offenses. One, a case of public justice, which refers to capital punishment against the murderers in the judicial system. Number two, a case of lawful war, which mostly refers to defensive wars. And a case of necessary defense, which refers to self-defense. Other than these exceptions, all killings are not acceptable. Today, we are going to deal with certain implications from the sixth commandment based on the larger catechism. There are some clear and very definite teachings about certain acts to be labeled as killing or not as killing or murder. I will also have to deal with some relevant issues questioned by many people. One of them is obviously suicide, and we will deal with it. I was told that John Calvin said that suicide is self-murder, so he condemned. It is a very emotional and difficult topic to talk about, and I myself have not heard about any message related to this particular topic. And I think not many preachers are dealing with this particular topic either. There are, I think, two basic reasons for it. One is that there appears to be no direct teaching on this matter in the Bible. In order to be able to build up some sort of biblical principles and guidelines, we should be able to find some data from the scriptures. But it is pretty hard to collect all those scripture data in order to establish any one particular biblical doctrine or principle concerning the matter of suicide. Or we may safely say that there are simply not enough scripture data to deal with, in fact, this issue. The other is that the circumstances or reasons of suicide cannot be easily explained away, or we cannot explain the reasons or causes of all the suicides lightly. We often find stories about someone's suicide because of his financial problems, family problems, health problems, or certain sad events in their lives. Nearly every one of them is basically related to some individual's tragedies. Some individuals may talk about people committing suicide very lightly and condemnatorily and very casually. The way that they treat the issue of suicide or those people who have committed a suicide is rather too simple, too simplistic. They measure other people's problems with their own measurements, and they tend to put condemnations on them. Why, for such a small matter, they kill themselves? If they had courage to kill themselves with that same courage, they should have lived. You know, that sort of comment. However, the matter is not as simple as they think. Some people kill themselves because they are disturbed about an event that may not upset other people. We have to understand that individual characters are different. We do have different characteristics. Therefore, why have they done the, such a thing while I am bearing the same burdens but I'm not doing it? Well, we should never measure other people according to our own measurement. And individuals have different tolerance level, and people may feel differently in different levels, even though people may experience exactly the same sort of events in their lives. Everybody is simply different. Rather, sometimes we must examine the purpose and reason of the suicidal acts within the pattern of the individual's life, and we need to try to understand them and be compassionate. The complexity of circumstances and the multidimensional nature of suicide means that attempting to pinpoint the exact cause for each and every suicide is difficult, if not impossible. Thus, it is neither pleasant nor easy for us to talk about. Probably all of us do know and have heard about someone who took his or her own life. Though we are not victims of suicide, we have experienced some emotional turbulences that have caused us to consider or even think about death and suicide. Therefore, though it is a difficult subject to study, I think we must admit that it is a very relevant issue to our very existence. Let me begin with the fact, reality of suicide. Let me begin with the historical understanding of suicide first. Under the English common law, suicide was a crime and subjected to varying degrees of punishment from at least the 13th century and into the 19th century. Though these penalties were withdrawn by now, penalties against assisted suicide were codified. However, problems of suicide are still remaining. As we have seen from the previous week's teachings, for example, abortion was only the beginning of many more controversies. If we can destroy life in the name of human autonomy and human liberty, why can't we not kill those who are in terminally ill and suffering? If we are not allowed to kill other people by directly involving in their deaths, then why should we not help those people who want to die? It becomes assisted suicide. According to Daniel Avila, a poll showed that 81% of psychotherapists supported the concept of rational suicide. 81% of psychotherapists. I wonder, just in case, if someone is in deep depression, in despair kind of mode, and that person goes to such a person for counseling, while these people are thinking about rational suicide as a legitimate action to be taken by those people, now what sort of counseling they will get, so, you know, people will get from those people. What surprised me is that this poll was taken nearly 10 years ago in America. 10 years ago. More, in fact, I'm sure that the last 10 years have not given better morality and spirituality to the mankind, so probably statistics today is even worse, if not the same. More and more people who desire death are given away to their destructive impulses to kill themselves. A 1,995 article in the journal Suicide and Life-Threatening Behavior concluded that suicide is a rational choice for those with hopeless conditions. I want you to listen to this. Suicide is a rational choice for those with hopeless conditions. I don't know what you think about such a statement. It may sound very rational to some people. If someone is in a hopeless condition, then why doesn't he kill himself so that he can get over it? But such a conclusion cannot escape from its own serious dangers. The article continues to say, as it says, as defined, hopeless conditions include, here is a problem, hopeless conditions include, but are not necessarily limited to terminal illnesses, severe physical and or psychological pain, physically or mentally debilitating or and deteriorating conditions or quality of life no longer acceptable to the individual. So in other words, according to this conclusion, hopeless conditions do include anything, not only terminally ill cases and so on, but if someone feels that there is no value to his life, or someone feels that there is no quality in his life, then rationally, the person can kill himself. If we accept this sort of conclusion in this generation, whenever someone faces trials in life and gets tempted to die, then he has a rational reason to commit a suicide. The reason to take one's life all depends on his or her self-appraiser of his own life, or self-definition and understanding of the so-called hopeless conditions. So if someone feels that he is in a hopeless condition, then here is a rational choice. These are the conclusions of those people who have so-called learned so much, you know, about human psychology and science. Dealing with the issue of suicide is both challenging and complex. To talk about this sort of topic is very stressful and distressing. When we find and look into complex circumstances and psychological variables of people who have committed or attempted suicide, we know all the more how difficult topic we have to deal with. We cannot fully comprehend the scope of suffering that the people who have committed suicide have gone through. We are not able to comprehend the depth of darkness that they have experienced in their minds and lives in their last moments. It is often the case that it is pretty much impossible to identify any one single particular cause of suicide. I have seen some of the statistics both from Australia and from UK, and I'll give you some of those examples. In 1998, 2% of all deaths were attributed to suicide in Australia. However, that number may not mean much unless we think about countless attempts to kill themselves but failed. So there are people who have successfully killed themselves, but at the same time there are people who have attempted to kill themselves but survived. So if we put them all together, it's a remarkable number of people who have tried. Every death through suicide is premature and needless death that has really devastating effects on the living. Recent studies have shown the rise of suicide among middle-aged aged males between 24 and 44. There have been extensive studies about suicide among young people. And at the same time, we must not forget that people over the age of 75 are also killing themselves. Therefore, this problem of suicide should not be lightly dealt with. We must give all our seriousness to this matter and help others to prevent them from making a wrong choice. I would strongly encourage anybody to see medical professionals if he or she has any problem caused by continuing thoughts of suicide. If anybody cannot get rid of the thought, that person needs immediate attention from the medical professionals. If you know anyone like that, you need to encourage the person to talk about his problem. You know, one of the problems is that when we are going through some psychological problems or mental illnesses and so on, we are afraid of talking about it. And sometimes the society, certain communities, do not accept those individuals who are suffering with mental illnesses. But I want you to know that, you know, as our bodies do have some sicknesses at times, likewise, there may be some moments when our minds are going through some sicknesses and illnesses, and it should never be a taboo. And such an issue needs to be addressed and discussed, and it should be opened. And so as a result, there will be a solution, and rather than we hide those matters, you know, behind the scenes and under the carpets and so on. There has to be an opportunity for such a person to open himself up so that he can release his anxieties, and he's not going to dwell on such a thought for too long. Seeking help from doctors is not a shame, but instead God's provision for help for such a case. And I hope that we will not think about mental illnesses from totally negative ways. Your mind can suffer with some mental viruses. Okay, let me give you some statistical data. First, in order to help you understand the seriousness of this problem, I checked the data from the Office of National Statistics, and I found a report from year 2009 statistics. It says that in its overview, suicide decreased between 1991 and year 2009. In year 2009, 5,675 people committed suicide in UK. There are more suicides among men than women. In year 2009, male suicide rate was at 17.7 per 100,000, while for women in the same year, it was at 5.2 at 100,000. It means that men are three times more likely to commit suicide than women. Males between the age of 15 and 44 commit suicide the most, while females aged between 45 and 74 commit suicide the most, according to the year 2009 statistics. According to the National Service Framework for Mental Health Report in year 2005, suicide remains the most common cause of death in men under the age of 35. However, it has been reported that women are twice as likely to experience anxiety as men, and depression is more common in women than men. But men are more in suicide danger zone than men. Women are more likely to have been treated for a mental health problem than men. Usually men does not want to talk about those problems, and so he does not see. He refuses to see doctors. That is not right. As we can see, suicide is a real problem, and it affects many lives around us. In order to study on this matter, we need to know what it means by suicide. How are we going to define the word suicide? I'm going to introduce to you a few definitions of the word suicide. Then later on, I will try to find out some implications from the definitions. According to Butterworth Concise Australian Dictionary, English Dictionary, it says, suicide can be defined as the deliberate act of taking one's life. Sounds very concise and simple. A deliberate act of taking one's life. According to Schneidman, suicide is a conscious act. Conscious act. Okay? conscious act of self-induced annihilation. Best understood as multidimensional malaise in a needful individual who defines an issue for which suicide is perceived as the best solution. Kosky and his co-authors observes that suicidal behavior can be interpreted as a manifestation of distress associated with loss or abandonment, a release from despair, an expression of hostility or revenge, an appeal for help, a wish to test the fate or to be united with a loved one, or a response to the disordered thinking of a psychotic illness or drug intoxication. Noah Webster's 1828 English Dictionary defines suicide as, number one, self-murder. The act of designedly destroying one's own life. To constitute suicide, a person must be of years of discretion and of sound mind. I hope that you can see this. In definition, to constitute suicide, a person must be of years of discretion and of sound mind. It is because some people kill themselves while they are under some sort of chemical influences and so on. But it talks about discretion and sound mind. Number two, one guilty of self-murder. Dr. Robert Orr defined suicide as the voluntary and intentional killing of oneself. So they are just various kinds of definitions of suicide. General causes of committing suicide. A number of theories have been developed to explain the causes of the suicide. Psychiatric theories emphasize mental illness. Psychological theories emphasize on personality and emotional factors, while sociological theories stress the influence of social and cultural pressures on the individuals. Therefore, from medical and psychiatric point of view, there are, in fact, a number of things that must be affected on the minds of people, such as depression, schizophrenia, substance abuse, including alcoholism, drug abuse, and neurobiological factors. There are lots of psychological reasons, such as not being able to cope with stress and crisis, relationship problems, loss and grief, alienation, guilt, shame, hopelessness, failure, or feeling of worthlessness. At this point, let me quote from published materials by an organization, Samaritans. And it says that lots of people believe in myths about suicide. One of them is, you have to be mentally ill to even think about suicide. That is a myth. However, the truth is, most people have thought of suicide from time to time, and not all people who die by suicide have mental health problems at the time of death. However, the majority of people who kill themselves do have such problems, typically to a serious degree. Sometimes this has been recognized before the person's death, and sometimes not. There are other sociocultural factors such as financial problems, marital problems, rejection, social expectations, and even sexual orientation. Especially in the countries where there is no universal medical care services provided, I think financial problems, financial issues are huge problems. At times, the so-called right to die becomes the duty to die, to relieve their families from financial burdens in the third world countries. Besides all these potential causes, from the biblical point of view, we cannot ignore a spiritual aspect. There is a power of darkness that troubles the minds of people and drives them to destroy themselves. In fact, Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 and 15, we can find a son of a very, very unfortunate man and how the evil spirits have done against that son. Matthew 17, 14 and 15 say this, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic." In other words, he was possessed. He was under the influences of the evil spirits. He is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. It's a suicidal act. He throws himself into the water. He throws himself into the fire. This unfortunate man's son tried to hurt himself that could eventually lead him to kill himself. And such problem was caused by the evil acts of evil spirits, of the devil. What he was doing was beyond his control in this case. Obviously, we do not know what caused him to be controlled by the evil spirits, and that is not our concern today. The fact that we need to understand is that, in fact, the very act, the suicidal act, was caused by the evil spirits. As we can see, there are so many potential issues related to the causes of suicidal acts. Therefore, we must not be careless to judge those people who fall into the trap of suicidal acts and suicidal behaviors, as if it is our duty to condemn the ones who have attempted to kill themselves. Instead, they need our understanding. They need our assistance. They need our help, and they need our prayers. Quick judgment and condemnation are not needed. We must try to understand the pain that these people have to carry in their hearts, and no one knows about them. No one can see them unless we give them an opportunity to open themselves up. And because sometimes families consider such a family member as a shame to the family, they want to hide such incident from their household. As a result, oftentimes those people who need desperate help from the medical professionals do not have opportunities to be seen by medical professionals, which is very sad. At the same time, we cannot but lament and sigh over some people's attempts of encouraging and helping people to commit suicide. There are people who are making websites to help the people to commit themselves easily. There are guidebooks for suicide. Some people are promoting an idea of self, so-called assisted suicide, and we must reject such an idea. Probably you have heard about this particular man from the States, Jack Kevorkian, known as Death Doctor. He died, I think, a few years ago. He had reported that, here, in quote, "In my experience, when I think, which I think is difficult to match, only about 5% of the requests for assisted suicide come from people who are terminally ill." Only 5% from his personal, observations and so on. "It is the chronically ill who want to this service, and they will comprise the vast majority of people who request this." So not necessarily terminally ill people are desiring to kill themselves. But this man helped quite a number of people to kill themselves. Then how about the suicide in the Bible? I must say that there is only scarce of data concerning suicide. The Bible mentions 4 specific people who committed suicide. We find a man, Abimelech, from Judges chapter 9. He was one of Gideon's sons, and he killed all his stepbrothers in order to become a king. So he himself was a killer. He himself was a murderer. However, later he got caught by a woman and was thrown out from a tower. He still survived, but he knew that he was going to die. He did not want to be known as a man killed by a woman. He thought, even at his last moment, he felt that there was a shame. So he asked a young soldier to kill him in chapter 9, verse 54. It is almost like a voluntary euthanasia, which is a form of suicide. We find a similar instance from the life of Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 4, and he was defeated in the battle and he was dying, and he asked the soldier nearby to kill him. Ahithophel was a very clever person, and in fact he was a counselor to King David. So you can imagine how wise and clever person he was. And in fact, I forgot the exact description in the Bible concerning him, but there is a verse saying that his wisdom was like the wisdom of God. So that much he was a clever and a wise guy as he counseled King David. However, he later betrayed his King David when his son Absalom rebelled against his father King David. When Absalom did not listen to his advice, Ahithophel knew that eventually Absalom was going to be defeated and King David would prevail. So when he realized that he was a betrayer, and so with a despairing heart, he went home and killed himself in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23. Zimri killed his master and became a king in the northern kingdom of Israel. However, he was able to reign only for 7 days. And when he saw his inevitable defeat, he threw himself into a fire and killed himself in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 18. And another very infamous suicide case is found from Judas Iscariot in Matthew chapter 27, verse 5. And there is no biblical example amongst the godly and spiritual people who killed themselves, which may be an indication that none of the believers of God, none of the believers of Jesus Christ should dwell on the thoughts of committing suicide. Or at least, these examples may indicate that the believers of Jesus must encourage themselves in the Lord and rely on Him in times of troubles. That is the consistent message from the Scriptures. We may go through trials. We may find some afflictions in our lives. We may find insurmountable challenges and trials before us. But always the Scripture solution for those situations is rely on Him, trust in God, and believe on Him, and God is our strength and refuge. That is the consistent teaching from the Bible toward the believers in times of troubles and afflictions. One controversial case is Samson. Some people have used him as an example for the believer's suicide. You know, his last moment, he asked the Lord to give him strength to kill the Philistines by destroying the pillars and the buildings itself. And he knew that if he's going to be able to destroy those pillars he was holding on to, eventually he was going to be killed too. So his attempt included his death as well. And some people are trying to understand it as a case of believers' suicide. But I'm not sure whether that can be justified case. I do not know whether it can be classified as a suicide according to the definition given by the larger catechism. And besides that, he was dealing with his enemies. Then how about suicide in Christians? I was pastoring a small church in America while I was studying. And we had a wonderful time, a fellowship and Bible studies, prayer time there with the believers there. And about 6 months after I left America and returned to Korea in 1991, I received a phone call from a lady who was a member of my church in the U.S. And she greeted me, and then she told me a very shocking story. There was a man in my church who suffered some mental illnesses. And I knew that something was not right with him. And he often asked me to help him for this and that. And I understood that his wife could not handle him and his requests. And some of his requests are just very irrational and very unreasonable. And definitely he was suffering with mental illnesses. But just like most ordinary men, when he was told to see a doctor, he refused. And he said that he was okay, he didn't have any problems. Simply the reason that people thought of him as a very strange person was because people could not understand him. And he was talking about his dreams, he was talking, his ambitions, and he was talking to me about his future plans and so on. So whenever he needed me, I spent time with him a lot. On that particular night, when the lady called me, she told me about this man, and in fact, this man threw himself from a cliff and killed himself. I became very speechless and very sad, because I knew the family personally. I knew his mother, I knew his sisters, I knew his brothers, and I knew his wife and one child, still very young. And it was really a sad moment for me. Then this lady who called me said something like this: "Pastor, I know that he did not go to heaven because he committed a suicide." And I think most Christians have that sort of view. I think she wanted me to say the same thing so that she could be assured and reassured of her conviction on this matter. How many Christians are talking like this to the grieving families over the losses of their beloved ones who have committed suicides? Sometimes we talk, I think, too speedily, even to hurt the grieving ones. And especially if a Christian family loses a loved one by suicide, they feel that they are very ashamed. Even before they feel the loss of their loved one, they feel ashamed of the cause of their loved one's death. And they begin to hear of those whispering voices behind them. So-and-so has committed suicide. So-and-so, the son and daughter, mother, father, brother and sister, and so on. In the meanwhile, the grieving families obviously want to be assured that they would be able to see their beloved ones in heaven someday again. What a difficult situation. Suicide, Augustine determined, was an unrepentable sin, Augustine said. Thomas Aquinas, the most outstanding of Catholic theologians, gave three succinct arguments why suicide is a sin against self, neighbor, and God. First, he said, suicide is contrary to nature. Every living organism naturally desires to preserve its life. Second, it is contrary to our social obligations. The whole human community is injured by self-killing. Third, suicide is contrary to our religious rights. God alone should decide when a person will live or die. Aquinas reasoned, in quote, "To bring death upon oneself in order to escape the other afflictions of this life is to adopt a greater evil in order to avoid a lesser. Suicide is the most fatal of sins because it cannot be repented of." End of quote. That's what Thomas Aquinas said. Well, Thomas, you know, the poet Dante, wrote the famous poem based on Thomas Aquinas' theology, Inferno. Law and popular practices in the medieval ages sanctioned the desecration of the suicidal corpse along with confiscation of property and denial of Christian burial. We know that there have been two extreme views on suicide, and both groups have used Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, in order to justify their views. I want to think about this matter from the definition that Noah Webster gave to the word suicide. His first definition says that suicide is an act of designedly destroying one's life. To constitute suicide, the person must be of years of discretion and of sound mind. We need to pay attention to a statement. The person must be of years of discretion and of sound mind. It recognizes the complexity of the problems of committing suicide or suicide cases. When a man is not able to make right judgments, when man is not able to make conscious and rational judgment, Noah Webster seems to refuse to condemn him by saying that his soul is lost in hell. In order to constitute suicide, that person should be able to use his mind properly, the sound mind, a conscious act. He's not saying that suicide is good, but that such person is not capable of being responsible for his action. Therefore, I think there are a few things we need to even consider more. I view suicide in two ways. One is that self-killing definitely is not good. It is against the commandment, I believe. And we must understand that our life belongs to God, and the life was given to us by God. Therefore, He is the master who should decide concerning the time to be for us to be born and time to die. The sixth commandment does not endorse any killing except those exceptions mentioned in the larger catechism. Therefore, we must not kill ourselves. The other is about the destiny of those people who killed themselves, especially amongst the professing believers. I don't know when it was, almost 22 or 3 years ago, I visited one particular church in West Virginia in America. And when I was brought into the church, it was a very huge church, Independent Baptist Church. And that church was in a very, very sad mood, in a way. It was because two people died in the church. One was an assistant pastor, and the other one was a young man. In fact, a married person with his wife and a child, and both men died. And assistant pastor died because of his illness, and the other person, who was a young man, who killed himself, suicide. So during that week, there were two funeral services at the same time. The general mood was very, very grave and very serious. I noticed that when there was a viewing of those bodies before the funeral service, assistant pastor's coffin was in the front, and the young man's coffin was in the backside. And the reason behind was that person killed himself. And so that was a kind of implication shown in that arrangement. So it is not easy to talk about the believer's suicide. And I have asked the people in the church about that particular young man's case, and they told me that he was a genuine believer. He received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and he had clear testimony of his salvation, but he suffered with depression and so on. And he killed himself. So how should we think about the destiny of those individuals as professing Christians who have committed suicide? Well, in order to answer that question, I think that there may be various different ways to approach the matter, but I want to approach the matter purely from the matter of salvation. And in my personal judgment, I think this is, I think, a biblical guideline as well. I think I do not have any power to attach anything to the condition of salvation except the faith. And we are not saved by works, perfect life, or sinless purity or holiness. But whichever part of the scriptures I read, the scripture tells me that we are saved by faith, believing in Jesus Christ. Should I add one more condition to it? As long as a person, even after he confessed Jesus as his personal Savior, he should never commit suicide. That condition has to be attached to the condition for our salvation. Or as long as we can understand, as far as we can understand, the Bible tells us about faith as the precondition for our salvation. And we stop right there. Well, I cannot find any indication of extra condition to our salvation except that we are saved by grace through faith, by faith through grace. And we have learned and taught that we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Beyond that, I do not know any more about the issue concerning salvation. Therefore, our talk about individuals' destiny only based on their faith in and a personal relationship with the Lord, not based on their act or final act. It is God's business, not mine. And the only thing that I can glean, only truth that I can glean from the scripture is that we are saved by faith, by grace. Therefore, I will stop there. I like the statement declared by the British Medical Association in 1988, saying, in quote, "The deliberate taking of a human life should remain a crime. This rejection of a change in the law to permit doctors to intervene to end a person's life is not just the subordination of individual well-being to social policy. It is instead an affirmation of the supreme value of the individual, no matter how worthless and hopeless that individual may feel." End of quote. Human life is important. If someone came to a moment to even take his own life away from him, though it is our basic and fundamental instinct to preserve, that we desire to preserve our life. If someone comes to that point to be willing to take his own life by overcoming even that very embedded fundamental human instinct, there must be more things that we may not understand as far as the conditions of the mind of those individuals who committed suicide. Now, how can we apply this? If suicide is not good, but against God's commandment, then we should not do it. Okay? We should not do it. Sometimes, in order to avoid the present afflictions and trials, we dwell on this sort of thought. So we think that this is a kind of way to escape from the present trials and afflictions. However, if we know who God is and how important for us to obey God's commandment, it is a sin to dwell on such a thought, to kill himself or herself. So we do not want to disobey God's commandments. We need to talk to someone if we need help. Do not put the things inside of you without disclosing them. You need to talk to someone. Best person is probably, first of all, I think a medical professional can be very helpful. And if I can be of help, you know, I'm willing to sit down together with you or with anyone. So we need to seek for medical helps. And do not hide such a case behind, you know, under the carpet. That is not something that you have to be ashamed of. Sometimes your mind can be sick. It's not good, but it's okay. You know, it happens at times, but you can seek for help. And at the same time, we must not do anything that may hurt us, because Our even body belongs to God. It was purchased with a price. Not only our souls. Any individual who knows the health risks of smoking, by the way, drinking, sexual promiscuity, and any kind of unhealthy lifestyle must rethink of the way of his living, because it can kill them. By the way, I think next week, Elder Chu is going to deliver an evening message, but the following week, I'm going to talk about smoking and drinking issue in relation to the Sixth Commandment. We must have right kind of lifestyle. We need to be compassionate toward the people who are suffering with suicidal behaviors and those families who have lost their loved ones by these tragic events. We should never be condemnatory or judgmental. God had created us for a purpose, my friends. Though at times we may think why we are here and what we are doing and so on. It indicates that our existence, every one of our existences is meaningful and purposeful. It is designed by God. It is God who has given you life. That much you are precious. You did not make yourself. It is God who made you. That's why your existence is very meaningful. You and I are here for purposes, which means that we are very precious people to God. God has purposes within us. That's why he has given us life to live with. God gave us life, and Jesus wanted to give us more, even more abundant life. So he gave his life for us, for our abundant life. God loves you, and God loves me. God loves us. And he wants us to keep his commandment. And we need to cherish God's gift. Our body, our soul, life. Life is good. Not necessarily there is no affliction, no trial, no challenge in it. But it is because life was given by God himself. Let us look to the Lord in prayer.